And what a joy to think about Jesus and what he's done for us. And a lot of exciting things happened today, and we're grateful to be a part of all of them and thankful to have the ensemble here and the group and whatnot. And also, I failed to mention this morning, but so I was told and talked to him after service, but Heath McConnell got engaged this weekend, I guess. So I guess it was this weekend. Is that when it was, Rick? Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we're excited for Heath and his fiance, and praise the Lord for that. What a joy. Well, again, it's good to be back in church. Settle in there for just a few minutes, if you would, and we're going to look at this issue. I do believe that there's a problem that all of us have, and that is that we need to hear the heartbeat of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There are so many things in this world that are pulling. I mean, like a hook to a winch that's trying to pull you away from your relationship. You understand that Satan can't get your relationship severed because that's handled by the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're saved, if it wasn't for his everlasting sustaining power, then Satan would pull you right away from him, but he can't. But he's trying to do all he can through every vein that he has to pull you from a sweet fellowship relationship with Jesus Christ. If it's not the television, it's the internet. If it's not the internet, it's something else on the internet. There's plenty out there. If it's not that, it's social media. If it's not that, it's some other platform. If it's not that, it's friends. We are the only group of people, it seems like, that we spend time, effort, and money that, as one person says, money that we don't have, to impress people we don't know. It's really what we end up doing. And there's so many things that pull us away. If it wasn't that way, then our churches would be full all across this land. Our Sunday school classes would be having people stand in line to teach them and going out to find new people. We would be looking at ways that we could start in neighborhood Bible times and neighborhood backyard Bible clubs and ways that we could do something to get people the gospel. We would be standing in line trying to find out from Daniel or Dan or Kyle or some, just tell me, what can I do to reach the people in my neighborhood if we were as close listening to the Lord as we can? But it's not that we're trying to be far from him. It's just that everything that Satan and hell can throw at us, he is. A lot of good things, for that matter, are trying to pull us away from that sweet, sweet fellowship with the Lord. I want to preach about hearing his heart, hearing the heart of the Lord. And we're going to look at that passage where John was leaning on the breast of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, if you would, find your place in John chapter 13. John 13, we're going to read a few verses there together, and we'll preach about hearing his heart. While you're finding your place in John 13, I didn't get to preach this morning, so I had you a joke, and then I didn't get an opportunity to give it. So just hold on, I'll give this to you while you're finding your place in John chapter 13. You know, I could save it till next week, but next week may never come, so I better give it now. This little gem of spiritual wisdom. Heard about this 85-year-old man. He was out fishing, and he was on the banks there, and he heard something, and he turned around. Sure enough, is there on the frog saying, "Pick me up, pick me up." So he picked that little frog up, and he looked at it and talked to it for a little while. I'd never seen a talking frog. You laugh at that, but you haven't either. And so he talked to it for a little while, and the frog said, "Yes, kiss me, and I'll turn into a beautiful bride." And that guy looked at that frog and had a big old pocket on the front of his overalls, just put it down in his pocket. And so there he was, just flopping around in there. And from the pocket, he said, no, I said, "Kiss me, and I'll turn into a beautiful bride." Finally, it kept asking that, kept asking. He picked it back up. He said, "No, I said, kiss me, and I'll turn into a beautiful bride. He said, "Are you kidding me? I've been married two times. I've had brides before. I've never had a talking frog, so I think I'll keep it like this." So, John chapter 13, verse number 23. This is when Jesus is announcing that Judas is going to be the betrayer. He's saying, "He it is whom I shall give a sop, whom when I have dipped it." That's what he's going to say. But before that, he has announced that somebody is going to betray him. And then in verse number 23, "Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples. We know that was John. That was just the way he's described through inspiration. He describes himself. One of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be. Simon Peter's like, ask him who it is. Should it be of whom he spake? He then, lying on Jesus' breast, he starts off leaning over, now he's lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him, and then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. In our passage, we find John the Beloved, the one whom Jesus loved. He was the close one to Jesus. He must have been a tender part. Usually you see Peter, James, and John, and they were oftentimes the inner circle there with Christ. But James, or John rather, was the tender-hearted one. He was the one that was more cued into what Jesus was doing, apparently. And he's the one whom Jesus loved, as the Scripture says. We find him then in verse number 23, he then lying on Jesus' breast. He stayed so close that I believe he heard the heartbeat of the Lord, both physically and spiritually. And I want to preach for a little while about hearing his heart. Father, bless us now is your prayer. Give us these next minutes as a church family. Lord, I'm thankful for everybody who's gathered. Lord, there's others that are watching via live stream, and I'm thankful for them as well. I thank you for this group that I get to be a part of. Lord, I sometimes think how blessed we are just to be just a portion of what's going on around here. And I'm thankful for it. I pray that you'd meet with us tonight, dear Lord, and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. I read a story some time ago about Michael Brady, not the fictional character on television show years ago, but Michael Brady was a stuntman for Universal Studios, and he specialized in skydiving and would do daredevil stunts. Of course, that was his job. He was on a site in Benson, Arizona, and he was preparing to parachute onto a train, as I recall. He was climbing up the train to check some rigging and make sure everything was right, and he fell backwards and hit his head, and he died instantly. He was an organ donor, and so they'd taken him to the University Medical Center in Tucson, and there was somebody that had been for a lengthy period of time on a temporary artificial heart machine that was waiting for a transplant. And so this heart from this 36-year-old stuntman was given to this other fella. 6 months after receiving his new heart, Bill Wall, the fella that was the recipient, received a letter from Michael's family. They told him a little bit about Michael, the person somehow they had been privy to information to mail back and forth. They told him of Michael's life, that he was 36 years old, he was a strong man, he was a stunt man, he was healthy, he was showed him some pictures, and he was very active. And here this fella was, Bill, was overweight, he was a driven person, a type A personality, just rolling over people, but overweight and money obsessed and pursuing just all the things that he could get in life. Now, as the story would go on, that fella that lived that life, he was so changed by the new lease on life that he had gotten, he's changed a lot of things. True story, he changed a lot, and he was spending a lot of his times with bicycling and races, and he got really in shape, and he was interviewed by a reporter, and as he leaned up on the forward in his chair, he was telling this reporter, he said, I quote, every day, all day, I thank God for Michael Brady. When I ride, when I work out, the biggest thing I do is to honor him. You say, well, of course he would, because without that, he'd have been dead. But then I looked at me. All that Michael Wall is, or Bill Wall rather, is thanking Michael for is life. I've got so much more than life to thank Jesus Christ for. Yes, I'm alive. Blood is pumping through my veins. And yes, I'm breathing because he's given me the gracious gift of life. But I've got so much more than that. Years ago, I bowed my head and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And he said in his word that I give unto thee eternal life. And if Bill Wall is thankful to Michael Brady for giving his heart so that he might live, how much should John Herdman be thankful to Jesus Christ? Not only does he let me live now, but he lets me live in the hereafter. My friend, I'm just getting warmed up down here. We're going to live 70 by reason of strength, 80. And because of our medical advancements, and they were so short of lifespan back some years ago, God allows these ones now to live longer. But if we live at 100 years old, that's a long time. My friend, 100 years is nothing compared to eternity. And if we've got a man that's willing to thank all of his or thank all of his days long, thank somebody who gave his heart physically to him so that he could live, and he changed his life, he got in shape, he now exercises and rides bikes and goes on marathons. Now he does all of this because he got a new lease on life. Pray tell me, what should I be doing, because I've got a spiritual new lease on life? If he's changing his ways, what should I be doing? He said, all day, every day, I thank God for this man named Michael Brady. How about us? Do we honor the Lord because he gave us a new creation? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I didn't get a new heart. I got a new everything. I want us to look at a couple things tonight. In verse number 23, I look at this. Number one, you must be close. The Bible says there was one leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. You know, there's a reason why we don't find out what the Lord wants us to do. We're not close enough. Young high school seniors and other students sometimes want to know, they'll ask a student pastor, well, I want you to pray with me about God's will. And what they usually mean, I jokingly say, somewhat jokingly, is they mean which school I should go to and who I'm supposed to marry and what job I'm supposed to take. And the only problem with that is they bypass all the things that are clearly written in the Word of God. That's the will of God for their life. It's the will of God that they be in the Word of God. It's the will of God they walk close to God. It's the will of God that they obey their parents. It's the will of God they get around the church house. It's the will of God they do lots of things. But they bypass all those and they say, well, who am I supposed to marry? What school am I supposed to go to? And what job am I supposed to take? My friend, we'll figure out all those things and so many more when we're so close to the Lord's heartbeat, like John was, that we're close to his bosom, and we will find ourselves knowing those difficult sections in life when we find ourselves close to the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 29 says this, ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. The Lord's not let us down yet. He's not left us hanging one time. I've never been able to look back and say, Lord, you weren't there for me. Now, many times I might run off and leave him in some little area of thinking. Let me give you these couple of thoughts underneath here, not really points, but thoughts. Number one, if you're going to hear him, you've got to constantly be getting closer. Last year's relationship will not do for this year. Can I get even closer? Last week's relationship won't do for this year or this week. Can I tell you this? If you read your Bible yesterday, you need to get back in it today and tomorrow. Look, if you will, verse number 23. Let me just draw these two distinctions. Verse 23 says this, now there was one leaning on Jesus' bosom. Quite literally, that means he was sitting next to. He was leaned over that way. But then look in verse number 25. And you know I'm not a Greek scholar, I don't know all the things, but the people that do know these things. Verse number 25, he then lying on Jesus' breast, quite literally, he got even closer than he was. He was leaning in there pretty close, but he just got that much closer. Did you ever notice when people are engaged and they're dating, they're getting engaged, they're getting close, as parents, you gotta say, hey, separate. the old Bible rule, you know, hey, can we get a Bible in between you? Now they think you mean this way. No, I mean this way or this way. Depends on whose daughter you're talking about. It might be my Bible plus all the rest of them in here. Thank you. But then as the pastor, then we got some fuddy-duddies that get married, and I got to tell them to scoot over. You know, that old fellow that was driving that truck said, honey, the old truck with a bench seat over there, he'd drive, and one day he noticed she was all the way hugging that window on the other side. Along, like he wasn't from Virginia, because you know you would notice the tobacco stains out both sides of the window. He just driving along. She said, "You don't love me like you used to." He said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Well, we don't cuddle. We don't, you know, you don't get close to me." He said, "You see where the steering wheel is? It ain't moved." Now you can't even use that joke now because all of them have consoles. But you think back, way back to the old days. And so we got to tell these couples that, boy, looking forward to getting married. Hey, stay right, stay apart. Then some of you married couples need to kick you in the seat of riches, get you over there closer to her. But all of us, we need a good old-fashioned lesson in getting closer to the Lord. I shouldn't even say a lesson. You know how to do it. I don't need to teach you how to do it. You don't need to teach me how to do it. We know how to do it. Out and talked this morning about revival. You know, if something's in order for something to be revived, you know what it had to have to begin with? Life. You can't revive something that wasn't living. And if we want to revive our walk with the Lord, that means it's already been there. But we see here that you must be close to Him. And if you're going to be close to Him, you've got to constantly be getting closer, because yesterday's relationship and fellowship is not good enough. This relationship with Christ is not supposed to stop, because it's not a position you attained. It's a relationship you're enjoying. It's supposed to be this vibrant thing that's living. Let's put it like this, you couples that are married. If you didn't get closer and closer and closer. You know, I gave you a hard time last week about Valentine's Day, and I got some texts the next day saying, hey, don't forget what it is, what day it is. And we expect a marriage to get closer and closer and closer. What if you didn't know any more about your spouse now than you knew 3 years ago? Well, she might not still be your spouse, but that's another story. You'd be in big trouble, because you've been supposed to be learning things all along. Dwell with thy wife according to knowledge. We pick on Brother Kyle, and he's been married. He's got a whole year of marriage under his belt. You count Anna's year, they've been married 2 years. And they are still wonderfully learning each other, and they work together as a team. They do so much here at the church. We're so grateful for them. But they are learning. But most of you in this room, you're not that way. You're not newlywed. You're not a year into this thing. You know so much about the other one that you could write a book. Nobody want to read it, but you could write it. I just thought I'd throw that in there in case you got any big ideas. But you've got to learn more about him or more about her out of duty, or because you make a point to do it. And if you've got to work at getting closer to your spouse, then you and I have to work at getting closer to our Lord. Again, because the way I started out tonight was to tell you, you've got all that the devil can belch out of hell to pull you away from that fellowship, that relationship. You tell me, how hard is it to get to church on a Wednesday night after you've worked all day and it's dark and it's tough and you've got a headache and you've got a backache, you got a footache, everything you got aches. How hard is it to get here? Well, you think the devil's not bringing many of those thoughts to your mind? Well, if it's true for one simple Wednesday night service, what do you think it is in walking daily with the Lord Jesus Christ? You can sit down, get your Bible, Nothing's happened in the last 3 hours at your house. You sit down with your Bible in your lap in your chair, then the phone rings, the doorbell rings, your phone dings 14 times for messages, the neighbor comes over, you haven't seen him in 3 years, but all of a sudden they want to come over and borrow sugar from you. I'm just saying, if we want to be close to him, we've got to constantly be getting closer. It's an active walk. And then not only that, look in verse number 25 as well. If you're going to get closer to him, you've got to listen to him speak. Look, if you will, I've lost my place here. In verse number 25. In verse number 25, it says, "He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it?" And I can only imagine that the Apostle John was leaning in and said, "Lord," as it says in another passage, is it I? And now if your teenager came to you and said, "Dad, you want me to do anything?" And then he walks out as soon as he's asking, you're saying, "You didn't want to hear what I had to say." We've all been teenagers before, unless you're not that old yet. We've all been teenagers when we're walking out and say, "Dad, if you need anything, let me know." And then you've got the door shut behind before he could ever say anything you didn't want to hear. Well, I can only imagine the Apostle John just leaning in says, "Lord, who is it?" Because I believe he thought at that point, "I don't want it to be me." And so if we're going to get close to him, we not only have to be constantly getting closer, but we also have to be listening for him to speak. I know it sounds too simple, but we've got to listen. There's a reason why when we read the Bible, we ought to get things quiet. There's a reason why we ought to just sit there and let the Lord dwell with us. It's said that 250,000 people heard Martin Luther King Jr. give his "I Have a Dream" speech. Well, you don't get 250,000 people by accident. That many people want to hear him speak. I heard Billy Graham give testimony of one time when he was in India, I believe, some foreign country. Well over 500,000 people through great magnifications and amplification systems heard him speak at one time. Well, that doesn't happen by accident. There's people that are intent on hearing him. There's a reason why you're here tonight. It's not just out of ritual. It's not just out of routine. I like to believe that we came not because the preaching's good, but because the Bible was going to be opened. And I want to show you specifically this passage that the Apostle John, leaning on the breast of Jesus Christ, leaned in over them, wasn't even close enough at that point. He got even closer when he said, "Lord, who is it?" I've been by the bedside of too many people that didn't make it on this side. And I've seen family members that leaned in and put their ears right up to the mouth of that ailing loved one, just wanting to hear the last words on this side that they had to say. My friend, if we want to be close to him, we're going to have to be able to listen to him speak. You say, "How could I hear the Lord speak?" He wants to every day into our lives. He left his love letter for you and for me in the Word of God. You say, "Sometimes I don't understand all that." You know, sometimes I don't either. Sometimes you get in those parts and it just seems like, that's hard to figure out how all that goes together. But I know I've found enough stuff in there that he does speak to my heart on. It keeps me coming back. And I believe the other things I haven't figured out yet, he may let me figure it out before I get to heaven. If he doesn't let me figure it out before then, when I get up there with him, he'll explain it all, because he's the living Word of God. All I've got is the written Word of God. We've got to listen. Number two, not only should we be close to him, but after we're close to him, I believe we're going to adopt his mission. I want you to look in John chapter 20, you're in 13. Look at 20, verse number 31. I'm going to change gears here just a little bit and tell you that after he gets close to him, he adopts the mission of Christ. Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And John had spent so much time with him that he began to adopt his mission as his very own. John 20, verse number 31. But these things, this is the purpose of the gospel of John. But these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. John listened so much to Jesus that he ended up giving the rest of his life for the mission that Christ had come for. Now, Jesus said in John chapter 14, greater works than these shall you do. As like Elisha took the mantle from Elijah, and the scriptures lays out that Elijah saw twice as many miracles as Elijah did, and the student did more than the teacher did. And Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. And true enough it is that the apostles saw great things done. John took the commands from his Savior and he internalized them and made them his own. Now, everybody in this room knows what it's like to have some relative, most of you, I should say, not everybody, most, know what it's like to have some relative that they, before they passed on, they ask you to do something. My papa, before he went to heaven years ago, they'd had this little... this little ceramic tiger. I don't know the story about where it came from, but it sat up on this shelf up above the good warm morning gas stove there in Mamaw's living room. And on the other side was a big conch shell that my dad bought back from one of his one of the ports he was in the Navy. And but on the other side, this ceramic tiger. My papaw, he told Mamaw that he said, "Well, Blanche, just as a whim." He knew he was going to heaven. He said, "You ought to get a chain that tiger up." For some dumb reason, I don't know. Just a funny little thing they said. But after he went on to heaven, you can probably imagine what my mamaw did. She went to the wherever, Ben Franklin, some store, and got a little dog chain, and sure enough, put a chain or a little collar around that ceramic tiger as if it was going anywhere, and put a chain on him, because that's what Ailey said to do. You know people that have adopted as their mission the last thing that somebody told them to do. And those are just whimsical little silly things. But John, he took as his life's mission. Jesus said, "I've come to seek and to save that which was lost." And John, the great apostle, spent the rest of his days trying to tell about the Savior. John, history tells us, we have to go outside of the Bible to get this, but history tells us that John was the only one of the 11 apostles that didn't die a martyr's death. They tried dipping him in hot oil, but he didn't die and he survived, and he spent the remainder of his days on the Isle of Patmos. He was used of God to write this gospel and then 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Revelation. But his life was given for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He truly took into account the words that he gave in John 3:30. He must increase and I must decrease. John wanted his life to slip off into obscurity and hold the Lord Jesus Christ up. But I believe it was because he was so close to Christ that he heard his heartbeat. I believe that all of them, of course, apart from Judas, I believe all of them regretted that they didn't do right at the crucifixion. But you remember, they were a scared group of humanity. But after this, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, was that ever true. The Holy Ghost empowered those men, and they went out like soldiers. But I believe it was because that he got so close that he not only heard his physical heartbeat, but he heard his spiritual heartbeat, that he wanted the world to know about the gospel that he came to provide. Let me close with this. Bill Wall, the fellow I told you about at the beginning of the sermon, he went to see Michael Brady's family. With that strong heart in his body, he met Michael's parents. And they had a beautiful time, and he was so thankful for them. He learned that Michael loved God and the Lord and loved helping people. They were a great testimony to him. But then he met Michael's brother, Cody, Chris. And as he met Chris, Chris brought a stethoscope, had one because of his work or something. And he asked the question, he said, "Could I listen to your heart?" It was a little unnerving, but he said, "Sure." And he got to reconnect with his brother one more time in his words. Bill said, "That'd be fine." And he reminded that family that every day I thank God for your son. Again, I bring you to that point that we're only talking about physical life. It's been some time since I've even read that story. And now the guy could be gone or in some other form of life or some other station of life. I don't know. But I know that if somebody's grateful for a physical heart, then this preacher should certainly be glad for a new heart that God gave me. And you say, "I know it's easy for you, preacher. That's what you're supposed to do with all your life." I know it is, and I don't begrudge it. I want to. And I'm thankful to this church that they give, and my salary is paid for, so my family's taken care of. We're going to go on forward by the grace of God to keep on till He takes us on. But I believe everybody who's saved ought to be like John when he was at first leaning over there close to Jesus, but then the Bible says he's just flat out lying over there. He just gets closer and closer. And I'm asking you this week, if you do your best to get close to the Lord Jesus. I believe if you got close to the Lord Jesus, that you would make many of the attitudes flee out of your mind that are now permeating it. I believe if we got close to the Lord Jesus, we'd have to shut off some of those other streams because they'd be a competing force, and we can't have that. But we're going to have to do it on purpose if we do it at all, because I don't see or anticipate the devil slowing down on his attack anytime soon. I believe that Satan and the world and the flesh are going to keep on pulling you from every direction except the right one. And if you get close to the Lord, it'll be because you purposely lean over that way. I'm inviting all of us to lean on the breast of Jesus Christ. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help this crowd in front of me. Promise tonight. Lord, they don't promise me because it won't matter. I can't help them, but you can. I pray, though, dear Lord, that this crowd tonight would promise you that they're going to see you're going to see a whole lot of them this week. They're going to be putting their ear close this week. They'll be going to be lying in, leaning in close on your breast this week. Lord, I pray that you would help us as a group, as a church, as a family, that we might decide one more time today that in the busyness of this world and everything that's pulling us, that we're going to lean in on close to you. Father, bless it and make it so, I pray. And we'll thank you for it all in the name of Jesus. Would you stand together with me as they begin to play? And if God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe you're here and you feel that pull from the world. Of course you do. I do too. But you're gonna fight it this week. You're gonna say, I'm gonna get close to Jesus. I believe that every person in this room, you ought to be making a commitment in your mind to the Lord right now and in your heart. Say, "Lord, you'll see a good bit of me this week. Lord, you'll have my undivided attention on regular intervals this week. Lord, I'll be looking to you. I'll be leaning in close. I'll be listening for what you say very often this week. Perhaps you're here as they continue to play. You're here and you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. You have something on the inside of you that's just troubling you. You don't have certainty of where your eternal home is. If that's you tonight and you want to get shored up, Brother Daniel, standing right in front of the pulpit, would love to take a Bible and show you how you could be sure. Heaven is your home. Jesus is your Savior. And salvation is sure. Would you step out and come? Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You're saved. God's already shown you this is the place you need to be a part of. Come on down. Present yourself for membership. Maybe you're here and you've saved, but you've never been baptized. Oh, you say, is baptism necessary for heaven? Salvation is necessary for heaven through Jesus Christ. Baptism, though, is that first step of obedience to announce to a world that I'm a follower of Christ. Whatever your need is, would you come? Thank you. May look this way. She's playing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. It's hymn number 326. Brother Dan, would you come lead us in that? I don't think we have the words for it, but you may know the words already, or if not, it's 326. I'll let this be our going home song. And I pray that as we sing it, it might not only be a song, but be a prayer. Lord, help me turn my eyes upon you. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world, earth, will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So, Brother Dan, would you come?
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life for in love.